We have got somebody, Dan, that we both admire, a terrific investigative reporter for the Yankee Institute for Public Policy, Mark Fitch. And Mark is going to analyze whether the new state public employees concessions deal passed by Democrats in the state Senate on Monday actually saves taxpayers money on the pension side of the deal, and it doesn't.
Well, we're going to find out, Brad. He's in our Touch Points Rehab Interview Chair. Mark, good morning, and welcome to Brad and Dan.
Hi, how you doing? Good to be here.
Good.
Well, you found something out that I think the public should know, Mark. You know, to hear them sell this, you would think that we're all going to benefit a great deal on it.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there are going to be savings, but, you know, the problem is they're not going to be enough in the long run, and especially being that, you know, now the contract's been extended to 2027, any real chance for substantial changes has kind of been, you know, postponed for another 10 years.
Mark, one of the things we're hearing, and particularly the advocates for this plan, is this new Tier 4, I'm guessing for new state employee hirees who go into the union. So explain what this new Tier 4 is all about and this so-called hybrid retirement plan.
Okay, yeah, the Tier 4 hybrid plan, what it was sold as is, you know, a hybrid plan combines a typical, like a pension with a 401k style plan. The benefit of doing something like that is that it lessens the risk burden on the state, generally requires an employee to pay more towards their pension and lowers the amount of the pension by changing the calculations. And in exchange for that, they also get a 401k style plan, which kind of supplements that, supplements the lower pension payment. And it's something that's been used by other states, most recently and, you know, successfully in Rhode Island. Rhode Island had a very different style hybrid, and also Rhode Island applied it to all their employees, you know, current employees plus, you know, new hires. Connecticut's plan is going to be a bit different. So with Connecticut's plan, they do change the pension calculation a little bit, things like overtime. Instead of using your five highest paying years, including overtime, they spread it out over the life of the person's career, so like 25 years. And they use a slightly lower multiplier, which is the percentage of your yearly income that, you know, is used to calculate your pension. So they lower it from 1.4% per year to 1.3% per year.
You know, Mark, you mentioned Rhode Island and what they're doing. However, they also are one of the states that are in deep trouble because of some of these raises.
Well, yeah, I mean, they managed to change and better their situation quite a bit through imposing this hybrid plan. Their unfunded pension liabilities dropped a large percent from almost $7 billion to $4 billion. You know, so that's a big shift. The hybrid plan that we're talking about in Connecticut, state employees would only be paying 1% of their pay into the 401k system, and that would be matched 1% by the state, whereas they'll be paying 5% into the pension program. So basically, it's a normal pension. It's just there's going to be this extra 1% that they've saved over the course of their career. And, you know, in effect, it's not really much of a hybrid. You know, I talked to Anthony Randazzo from the Reason Foundation, who did a major study on Rhode Island switch. And, you know, he said the big problem, he said, is that, you know, in a classical hybrid, you know, retirement plan, there should be parity between the pension and the 401k style defined contribution plan. With this, we don't get that.
Mark Finch, investigative reporter for the Yankee Institute for Public Policy. We're taking a look at this contract that's been signed, and how much are we, the public, going to get hit, and what is it all about? We're talking about Tier 14 retirement with Mark Finch. And, Dan, this is something that we were not told before that we're finding out this morning.
Okay, Mark, let's get back to the hybrid plan. Why not just present under Tier 4? Why didn't the state just say an all 401k plan?
It was the governor. He was working directly with the unions, and that these are closed negotiations. The legislature has no say in it other than voting it up or down. So apparently that wasn't on the table, for whatever reason. Switching over all new hires to a 401k would absolutely make a long-term difference for Connecticut. This hybrid plan, not so much. Any savings to our pension plan that we're going to be seeing are pretty much coming from the wage freezes and some administrative changes that the state was able to negotiate. And, that's going to change our unfunded pension liabilities from $39 billion to $36 billion. That's okay. But there's no savings really from this change in the retirement plan.
I mean, most people in the private sector, those defined pension plans are long gone. They're on 401ks or other plans. But here in the public sector, you get this so-called hybrid plan, which to me gives you two. You're getting a defined pension plan over which you contribute a certain amount, and then you're going to get a 401k on top of that with the state to match it. Who wouldn't sign up for that?
Yeah, no, it's really not a bad deal. And then, when you retire, you can still get Social Security, too. So, I mean, I don't think there's going to be any real hit when it comes, for state employees when it comes to retirement. Like I said, it basically slightly changes some of the pension calculations, but then, and it raises their contribution rates, which is, that is a good thing. I mean, they should be paying more towards their pensions. The national average is a 6% contribution. This changes to a 5% contribution, but at the same time you're getting that 401k. I mean, switching everyone over to a defined contribution, doing something like that, it saves you over the long term. But what it essentially does is stops the bleeding now. The reason that private companies don't do this anymore is they came to the basic realization that you can't pay an entire generation of workforce to just not work. And you can't continue doing that. So they set up savings plans so that when somebody leaves, they take their savings with them. And now the company or the state or whoever is no longer responsible for paying them. They're living off those savings. We haven't done that in Connecticut. Some other states have moved to do it. Michigan did it with their teachers recently. All new hires are on a 401k style plan. And moving forward, we're still eventually going to have to do that, because even with this very slight change and, this hybrid plan, it was kind of treated like it was going to, this will be the answer. This will save us, everything like that. It's not. I mean, it's essentially still a pension plan. And, we've seen this in the past. I mean, we do have. There does exist a quote unquote hybrid plan for state employees, but really what it is a pension that when you retire, you're able to take a lump sum payment if you want. So it's not truly a hybrid in that you're contributing to a retirement savings account. It's just a pension where you can get a payout.
Mark, I want to ask you your opinion on something. Okay. It's the same old stuff. The words, the language has changed a little bit. But when do you think, if you have any idea, because the only way Connecticut's going to be back on the track okay, and we won't be fighting this year after year, is to change this system. Do you think that is ever going to be a possibility?
Well, 2027.
Yeah, 2027, that's what I'm talking about. Who ever heard of such a thing?
Yeah, and, you know, the Republicans, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but, you know, the state's attorney general office came out with an opinion saying that, you know, technically, you know, the legislature could unilaterally change the contracts. It's just going to face a court fight, which, you know, it was always going to face a court fight. So there is that possibility. I mean, you'd need a lot of political will, and you'd need a lot of, probably a change in, the political makeup of the legislature. So that is a possibility. You know, future concessions, maybe, you know, but the problem with some of these concession things is, you know, they talk about saving $1.5 billion over the next 2 years. It really didn't take a whole lot to get to that $1.5 billion, you know? So is there a future possibility for concessions? Maybe. I mean, that's up to the state union leaders. Will it probably come up again? I mean, yeah, because we're not done yet. I mean, we're going to face deficits again in the future. And they're already predicting deficits for the next budget cycle.
Is this a good deal for the taxpayers of Connecticut?
No.
Of course not. That's common sense.
I'm sorry?
That's common sense. It's not a good deal.
No, and, you know, honestly, the more I looked at the deal, you know, when I was studying it and going through it, I'm like, this is not a good deal for the taxpayers. You know, it's, you know, this locks us in to, pay raises, lump sum payouts. It keeps in place the benefit system that is really costing Connecticut a lot of money. I mean, the contributions to pensions are scheduled to go up to $2.2 billion. You know, right now it's at like $1.3 billion. So you're going to see these increases, and they're going to keep coming. State employee retiree health care, that keeps going up. It's going to keep going up. So sooner or later, you know, I mean, it's already caught up with us this time. It's going to catch up with us again. And at that point, we're either going to be doing the same song and dance where we're, you know, begging union leaders to make some concessions, or we're going to be raising taxes again, you know, which is already looking like a possibility for this session. So, you know, this kind of cements the same problems that we've had in place.
There you go.
Yep.
You know?
I mean, you know, one thing I like to point out, though, is, you know, there is a change. There is some change in Connecticut. I mean, 4 years ago, this fight wouldn't have even happened.
That's true, so, because the Senate vote forced it to bring a vote, an actual vote about in both the House and the Senate. You're right about that.
Yeah. So, you know, 4 years ago, something like this fight would have never happened. But, you know, let's face it, in another 2 years, the fight's going to happen again, and we're going to be sitting in the same position.
Yeah.
You know? Hopefully it won't be a $5 billion budget, but they are expecting to have deficits again.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, if union leaders aren't willing to do concessions again, you know, we're going to be looking at tax increases. So that's kind of where we sit with Connecticut right now.
Mark, you do a terrific job. Thank God we had you on this morning, because this is what everybody, I think, really themselves knew what was going to happen. And you just brought the whole thing out. Thanks a million for being with us.
Thanks, Mark.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you, guys.
You take care.